From Spark and Anvil and DepthQuest, this is Churnin' Team in Chapter 1 of the DepthQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The water off the cold coast looked to a passing young fish completely empty. "There's nothing here," she complained, drifting through pale blue-green. "Just cold water. Why is everyone so excited about this spot?" Churn answered from below her in a voice like a slow underwater avalanche. "Because I haven't come up yet." She looked down. Rising toward her from the dark deep was a great, slow column of colder water, and riding it, cheerful as a delivery truck, was Churn, broad, calm, frost pale, carrying something that glittered faintly all through him like buried treasure, catching a first ray of light.
"I've been down in the dark a long time," Churn rumbled, rising steadily, "collecting the stuff that sinks. Everything that dies up in the light drifts down eventually, and it piles up down there, rich as compost, going to waste in the black. Somebody's got to bring it back up." He crested toward the sunlit surface. "That's my whole job. I rise." And the instant Churn's cold, glittering water broke into the sunlight.
"Now we're talking," shrieked Team, erupting out of nowhere in a green-gold explosion, so sudden and so bright the young fish flinched. Where a moment ago there was empty blue, there was suddenly a crowd, a shimmering, swirling, uncountable feast of tiny life. "Cold nutrient soup plus sunshine? That's my cue. That's the whole party."
"There it is," said Churn, satisfied, settling back. "Every time."
The young fish gaped at the transformation. "Where did all of you come from?" Team laughed, a sound like a million tiny bubbles. "From nothing, from sunlight and Churn's cold treasure, that's where." She spun, and everywhere she spun, more of her bloomed. "I'm the phytoplankton, the sea's grass, the tiniest green things there are. Give me sunlight, I can make food out of it. But sunlight alone isn't enough. I need the nutrients, the buried goodness, and that stuff all sinks down into the dark where I can't reach it." She flung a bright fin at Churn, "which is where my slow, cold friend comes in. He hauls the treasure back up into my sunlight, and then, bloom, I turn the whole sea green with life in a matter of days." The young fish watched, astonished, as tiny grazers, copepods, krill, larval fish, poured in to feed on Team, and bigger fish poured in to feed on them. "So the empty spot," the young fish started. "Was never empty," said Team. "It was just waiting for the delivery."
Churn rose slow beneath the feast, watching the crowds gather, and told the young fish the part Team was too busy to explain. "She's the loud one," Churn said, not minding at all. "But nothing she does works without the rising. Think about it." He turned his frost-pale bulk in the current. "Up here in the light, life eats and dies, and the dead bits sink. Down and down, out of the light, out of Team's reach. All that richness just piling up in the cold dark, useless. If it stayed down there, the surface would slowly starve. Bright, sunny, and starving." He began his patient climb again, treasure glittering all through him. "So the deep and the surface can't live apart. The deep is where the goodness collects. The surface is where the sunlight is. And somebody has to carry the one up to meet the other." He crested into the gold. "The wind and the spinning world do most of the pushing. But the point of it, the reason this coast teems while others sit empty, is that the deep gets a way to feed the light. Cold water rising. That's the richest thing the ocean does." He nodded up at the swirling bloom. "And then she throws a party with it."
"I throw a great party," Team called down.
"You do," Churn agreed, fawned.
They came to DepthQuest together, because Marlin said the school could not have one of them without the other. He met them at the coastal gate, where cold upwelled water met the sun. He didn't test them separately. He asked one question, to both of them at once. "Why does life crowd here, and not out in the open blue?" Team opened her mouth. She always went first,
but this time she paused and looked down at Churn and waited. Churn rose slowly into the light. "Because I bring the deep up to her," he said. And Team bloomed bright around him. "And I turn what he brings into a feast," she said. "Sunlight up here, nutrients down there. Apart were two empty halves, cold dark water and hungry light. Together, she swept a fin across the teeming, crowded, roaring with life water. We're the reason the biggest fish runs on the whole planet happen right on cold coasts like this one." Marlin looked at the two of them, the slow, cold riser and the bright, loud bloom. One impossible without the other. "You can't be graded apart," he said. "You belong here, both of you. Especially both of you."
Later, when the feast had thinned and the water quieted, a small fish who'd hung at the edge of it all came to them with the question he'd been holding. "Sometimes," he said to Team, "I feel like I've got nothing, like I'm just empty water, waiting, and nothing good is ever coming up." He glanced at Churn, cold and patient below. "How do you know the treasure's still down there, when it's dark and quiet and you can't see any of it?" Team, for once, went still and let Churn answer. "Because it's always still collecting," Churn rumbled gently, rising to the small fish. "Everything good that ever sank is still down there in the dark, waiting. It doesn't disappear. It just needs something to lift it back into the light." He crested slow beside the little fish. "The quiet, empty spell isn't the end of the feast, little one. It's the gathering. The dark is where the richness piles up before it rises." And as he spoke, his cold, glittering water broke the surface again, and Team, unable to help herself, bloomed soft and bright all around them, a small private feast, just for the three of them. The small fish drifted in the sudden, gentle green of it, and the hollow, empty water feeling he'd carried filled slowly with something warm, the quiet, astonishing relief of learning that the empty, waiting dark had never been empty at all. It had only been holding, patient and full, everything that was about to rise up into the light and bloom.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Churn and Team. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.